coming up on American Parlor Songbook. Join us for a show about the human voice. Comedian Matt Knudsen stops by, and singer Coco Love Elkhorn performs.
Now again, diction, diction, diction.
Coming up on American Parlor Songbook.
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 No, not book, casual, like book.
Book.
Better, now again.
Coming up on American Parlor...
No, 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 whoa, 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 whoa.
What, what?
But aren't you proud of your country?
Yeah.
Well, then why are you walking all over its name like this? America, like you love it.
America.
Yeah, that's it, again.
Coming up on American Parlor Songbook.
A parlor is a warm and inviting place, Julie, not an inner-city morgue. Gentle P, sexy R. Go.
Parlor.
Ooh, I like it, but it seems like it needs a little old-world charm. Cooming oop.
Cooming oop.
Yeah, now tie it all together.
Cooming oop on American Parlor Songbook.
Perfect.
This is American Parlor Songbook with your host at the piano, J.P. Houston.
Thank you, folks. Now, on the other microphone, the voice of Raisin in my ear. I think that's what she said. I wasn't really paying attention. I don't know. Julie Van Dusen.
The human voice.
Excuse me, there's something in my throat there. The human voice. Hot air shoved up a tube, vibrating a couple of loose elastics and bounced off a slab of meat and then out the hole in your monkey face. What can I say? I'm a bit of a romantic. But really, it doesn't start with that gust of wind and the vibration. No, it starts with a thought. You see, you have something stirring around up there, and you just have to express it. So you fire off some haywire neurons. They race down your spine. They set off the diaphragm back up and into the world as words. That's right. You always think before you speak. Unless, of course, you're the unreliable host of a mid-level public radio variety show.
Sure as a crow do caw, or a sparrow coo, out a whistling tune of an untold truth, where the horse votes nay and the owl asks who. Grouse cry foul and crickets croon, for all his tongues, his sentences, all man says is meaningless and less.
In the beginning, I mean way back in the beginning, like, you know, before our ancestors rubbed the monolith, it was just grunts. Well, during, too, I suppose, but before, it was all just grunts, right? If you wanted to tell some other Neanderthal some junk, you had to do some, you know, caveman charades, I guess. Which would have been easy because, well, there would have been only two possibilities. Want food or want love? Trust me, you don't want to see a Neanderthal pantomime want love. Anyway, at some point a million or something years ago, we got tired of the charades and we started yakking and yakking and yakking and yakking. They say it began with phonemes, you know, like short little sounds with basic meanings like ta or ma or ug. Linguists in the 1800s, they had something they called the bow-wow theory, which was that we started by describing animals using the sounds they make. So ug, bow-wow is their dog, right? Which kind of made things awkward in ancient China, because to this day they still onomatopoeia as a dog's bark as wang-wang. It's true. I've never met a Chinese dog before, but if I do, I'll kindly ask him to stop risking the FCC fine. Where was I? Right, the bow-wow theory. Along with the other leading theories of the day, like the, I'm not making this up either, the poo-poo theory, or the ding-dong, or the yo-hee-ho, or the ta-ta. These theories, they have the cavemen, you know, yelping in pain, or miming actions with their tongues, or singing to synchronize manual labor. Through the years, the names did get a little more science-y, but still nobody knows exactly how it started. Personally, I subscribe to the ta-ta theory, which is that you don't touch your voice box or you'll start yakking and wang-wang poo-poo all over the bow-wow, and well, you'll definitely get an FCC fine.
Sure as a crow do caw and a sparrow coo, out a whistling tune of an untold truth, where the horse votes nay and the owl asks who. Grouse crab fowling, crickets croon. For all his tongues, his sentences, all man says is meaningless and less.
When you get really good at talking, it starts to shape the world around you. Communication. Pass me that rock. I'm going to sharpen this arrow. Here, stretch this gut. We're going to make a bow. Run for your life. I'm a monkey with a bow and arrow. We've been running ever since. Shouting, mostly. Some stirring rhetoric, though. Some good, some bad. Those vocal intonations that move us, right? I have seen the mountain. Raise up that voice. Shake it a little, right? That's a leader. The good ones, they move us, right? The bad ones scare us with what they say, but more how they say it. Much of the time, words fail us. We get wrapped up in semantics, right? We run around in circles. Like in that ancient fable that I'm about to make up about the donkey and the mule. You see, they got into a tussle about which one was more horse. Ironically, with all the arguing and shouting, well, they were both more horse. So the mule resorted to semantics and he called the donkey an ass. Like the Tower of Babel, you know, back in the ancient imaginary days, when everybody spoke the same dialect, right? They got a little uppity, and God does what he does, you know, a little light smiting. And he confounded their language so no one could understand each other. We're still fighting about it to this day, right? I mean, everybody's talking and nobody's listening. What good are all these words then, right? Why did anyone ever even bother to bow-wow in the first place? Were we better off unconscious in the stream, you know, just floating away the way it does, dumb and mute like your average squirrel? Or maybe we just have to stop talking and start singing. Just let it out. You see, when you sing, you start to transcend those words. You rise above. It's just the vibration, right? Oh, and it moves you. It's just connected deeper. And someone joins in, right? And then the harmony, and then the octave, and you can feel it, and then the whole room joins in. And you get free, and you find out what you're... Well, hold on a second. I'm not sure you're really getting it yet. We have to go all the way back to the beginning.
With your newborn belly empty, all along your mother's arms, so you kick and you try, but you don't catch your eye. So you swell from deep inside and open wide and cry, cry, cry.
Whoa, got carried away there. Felt pretty good though. So we're gonna raise our voices and talk about them this week. Our good friend Coco Love Alcorn is here. Stick around, it's 30% glottal stops.
Sure is a cool ducat, or a sparrow coo, out a whistling tune of an untold truth, where the horse votes nay and the owl asks who. Grouse crab fowling, crickets croon, for all his tongues, his sentences, all man says is meaningless.
Be enjoying some great music from a Canadian singer-songwriter this week. Here for the first time on the program, ladies and gentlemen, Coco Love Alcorn.
Ooh. It's living in the moment, and it always finds a way. Water heal my body, water heal my soul. When I go down, down to the water, by the water I feel whole. The river calls me over, it's calling out my name. In the day and in the night, I hear that river all the same. It's calling me over, calling out my pain. Oh, a river gathers tears just like a river gathers rain. Water heal my body, water heal my soul. When I go down, down to the water, by the water I feel whole. The river is a traveler, always on the go. Oh, a river never worries if it's fast or if it's slow. River, take me to where I need to go. Oh, and I will just relax and let the river.
American Parlor Songbook is now available on PRX, and we're excited to be adding some new stations this season. Well, we're always looking for more ways to subvert the airwaves, so information is available on our website about how to suggest or request a local broadcast. We're also recording live episodes all year, bringing the program and our guests to venues all across Southern California. Our schedule is available online at our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Coming up on Radio on the Radio, I talk to some distinct voices about the need for distinct voices in public radio. On Radio on the Radio, on your radio, next. I'm Peter David, and this is Radio on the Radio. A striking intonation, an exciting use of diction, dramatic modulation of pitch and tone. The sphere of public radio is bursting with exciting voices. I spoke with American Journeys host David Peter about the continuing need for distinct voices in public radio. Hello, David. Hello, Peter. Hello. Hello. How has the American landscape changed, and what can public radio do to continue supporting our changing culture as it changes? Well, Mr. David, you can call me Peter, David. Thank you, Peter. You're welcome, David. Well, Peter, in an effort to keep up with the changing landscape, we can support distinct voices of color, like mine. Invigorating. Thank you, Peter. You're welcome, David. Which one am I? David Peter.
I'm David Peter, and this is American Journeys on Peter David's Radio on the Radio. Next, I stopped in to eavesdrop on a symposium roundtable symposium discussion around the round table, hosted by roundtable host Joyce Brooke Lindsay, about the need for distinct female voices around the round table.
I'm Joyce Brooke Lindsay, around the round table with, hi, Brooke Lindsay Joyce. And I'm Lindsay Joyce Brooke. Hi, I'm Joyce Lindsay Brooke. And of course, as always, on the corner of our round table, we have Brooke Joyce Lindsay. It's great to be back, Joyce, and an honor to be around the round table with such distinct female voices as Brooke Lindsay Joyce, Lindsay Joyce Brooke, Joyce Lindsay Brooke, and of course you, Joyce. Now, how can we, as distinct female voices, continue to support distinct female voices in public media? Brooke? Me? Sorry, Brooke Joyce Lindsay. Well, Joyce, producers like yourself can continue to invite us onto the air for invigorating discussions about distinct voices, like this one. Lindsay? Well, Joyce, I can't help but strongly agree with Brooke and hope you'll continue to provide a forum for our distinct voices. Well said. And don't forget to tune into the roundtable to hear more of our conversation with Brooke Lindsay Joyce, Lindsay Joyce Brooke, Joyce Lindsay Brooke, Brooke Joyce Lindsay, and me, Joyce Lindsay Brooke, on Roundtable, on radio, on the radio.
In our culturally expanding culturescape, one thing is for certain. Distinct voices will always be distinct. I'm Peter David. Don't forget to tune in next when I'll join Joyce Lindsay Brooke on the Roundtable for a discussion about radio with David Peterson, Peter Davidson, and of course me, Peter David. I'm Peter David, and this has been Radio on the Radio. I think it's about time we heard another song from Coco Love Alcorn.
We take a chance when we can. We take a break from having a plan. We are bold, invite surprise, then feel our spirits rise. We are tiny lights that sparkle and glow in a world. Take a minute every day. We chase the shadows far away, finding colors in the gray. We are tiny lights that sparkle and glow in a world.
Try and we can light. Beautiful song from Coco Love Alcorna, and joined in the audience by members of the Golden Bridge Choir. And now Coco will be joined by Maggie Wheeler, Sally Dworsky, and Betsy Sanby on the title track from her great new record, Wonderland. Ladies and gentlemen, Coco Love Alcorn.
There is joy here on earth. Oh, joy in every handful of dirt, there is joy in the simple things. When I look up at the sky, clouds are slowly drifting by. This can give my spirit wings. Oh, I believe.
Oh, yes, I do.
I'm living in a wonderland.
Oh, I'm living in a wonderland.
And all I need.
Oh, yes, I do. I believe.
I already have.
Sleep was the enemy, and I used to fight it with everything I had, especially on a school night. Stinging eyes, the head bob. I'm up, struggling to make it through Carson and onto the late great movies on the local station. Now, they let it slide for a while, my parents, but eventually, as my grades started to slip, well, I was sentenced to early bed. Or so they'd thought. I'd secretly hidden a small TV underneath a pile of toys beside the bed. The school system in Toronto, Canada in the 1980s had been taken over by ex-hippies, a baby boomer coup organized by failed commune livers, replacing the staunchest, toughest generation with the gentlest, mushiest one. And, well, you didn't go a day without the teacher reaching behind the desk and pulling out a brown acoustic guitar to lead a Gordon Lightfoot song. If we teach them with an open concept and we show them that we're cool, they'll want to learn. Jamming pencils into our ears, kumbaya, oh, kill me now, kumbaya. It would take a jackhammer to bust open my cakey eyes in the morning. Well, my dad wasn't home from the night shift yet, and my mother had already left for work. So, well, we went on the honor system. That's where I wake up a half hour late and watch the Flintstones and then finally head off to school. A pair of blue rugger pants, an army shirt, messy hair, dragging my feet along the pavement. And 4 blocks out, I'd hear the bell ring in the distance. Oh, there goes that again. No, Mrs. Smith, I was up until 4 a.m. watching Planet of the Apes. No, that's not going to work. A car soaked me and, well, I had to turn back. Yeah, it is the 5th time this week, but no. My family has a ridiculous collection of bad class photos. None of us ever got any sleep. So, well, if you want to find one of us, you just scan the photo and you look for the bedhead. They'd set up in the library, right? The library, orange chairs, brown round tables, rows of Encyclopedia Brown, Curious George, Judy Blume, yellow, red, green spines, and halfway down, a sky blue backdrop, a stool, and an oversized camera. All the dapper kids lined up in their picture-best middle parts, extra blow-dry, and me leaning against the wall. I'd just hook my shirt on the corner of the shelf there and dangle in a nap. Next! Move up a little closer to the hot seat. Next! The photographer was always a little bit off. You know, his look held over from the 70s, thick glasses, for focus accuracy. His name was probably Ron or Rich or Julian, and, well, I'm guessing he took a lot of artistic photos at night. I'd collapse on the stool, say cheese, sleep, flashbulb, and shoved off the stool. Next! A few weeks later, we'd get an envelope with an array of 4 on a page portraits, one eye closed, wrinkled shirt, cowlick. Mom, why don't you put our pictures up? Child Protective Services, dear. Child Protective Services. Now, by the 4th grade, my lust for late night had extended into the first reel of the 2nd feature. Beach Blanket Bingo Part 2, Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, whatever the no-budget station could buy for a buck or two and shovel on local car lot ads and discount furniture and hair club for men. And, well, if you made it through the movie, at about 3 a.m., Night Ride came on. It was exactly as the title explained. A camera mounted to the hood of a car, cruising through the city streets, smooth jazz on top. It was apparently a huge hit with the shut-ins and prisoners. And I confess, I may have watched a few too many hours of it myself. I plotted out my desk perfectly on the first day. Measured the teacher's line of sight, good. Get the fat kid at 30 degrees, perfect. The class clown on the diagonal, solid. And a few mediocre kids right around me, and done. On the desk, dreaming of sleeping. Oh, I think I'm going to like the 4th grade. JP, what is 4 divided by 4? Charlton Heston? My plan was monkey-wrenched by a wild card to the left. You see, a mediocre kid had turned hooligan and drawn eyeballs to my corner. The teacher was asking too many questions, and, well, my sleepy wrong answers had me moved to the front of the class for observation. It was a home-run triple feature that night. Rickles on The Tonight Show, then The Planet of the Apes Part 6, and then a Roger Corman picture. School or no school, there was zero chance of sleep that night. I figured the only way to win this thing was to break on through, you know, Night Ride, then more Night Ride, then Hair Club for Men, and then the morning news, and then cartoons, and then crawl to school half asleep. I propped myself up on my elbow, and I desperately tried to keep my eyes open, mouth agape, drool, wonky pupils, the teacher pacing back and forth across the front of the class. The 49th parallel divides what two countries, JP? My eyes rolled out from the back of the head, all kooky. I slurred out an answer to a few questions back. Niagara Falls? She locked on like a hawk. And what is 2 + 2? Canada? And what letter does Apple start with? 4. The jig was up. I crawled home and I slept through dinner and past Carson and through the late show and halfway through the second Flintstones and up just in time. All right, rise and shine. We got to make this good. Make sure the teacher sees no need to bring the parents in on this. Slide back under the radar and get back to my late night. I bounded to the second floor room there, 201, shirt tucked in, side part, fake smile, and ready to smooth it all out. I confidently strode into the class. Good morning, Mrs. Smith. JP, could you come here, please? Well, of course, teach. What can I coherently answer for you this morning? Yes, JP, out in the hall, please. Where it was explained to me that children like me needed special attention. Special attention down the hall in room 221. Special ed. Oh, no. Oh, no, not special ed. Someone, please, please. It dragged down the hall, kicking and screaming like Hannibal Lecter, plunked into room 221. To the left, a jean jacket with a mullet lighting fires, and in front of me, a pale kid, his chair turned around, unblinkingly staring directly into my fourth grade soul. Jean jacket leans over and whispers something unrepeatable about what he did to his cat. Well, I'm not going to last 5 minutes in this place. I raise my hand. There's only one way out. The truth, and lose my precious talk shows and B-movies forever. The parents were called in, and a strict early bedtime was set. Well, I'd have to dream about Rickles on Carson and wait for Saturday night to find out what happens to the apes in part 7, right? Not exactly. You see, they never found my secret TV under the toys. And it was as simple as half my lunch money to the smart kid to the left of me to feed me the answers and a pair of dark sunglasses.
Morning yawn, running late through the yard, up the stairs where the other kids are, after dark, playing catch with the moon, shooting jacks with the stars, when the world was ours.
APS is on Twitter at Parlor Songbook. And you can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Now, we love hearing from our listeners, and there's a contact link there on the page. Sometimes I'll even answer your letters in a song on the air. So if you need advice, or it's your grandmother's 100th birthday, or you just plain want to tell us how much you hate the program, just write J.P. Houston Sings in the subject line, and you never know, you just might get a response on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest is a hilarious comedian from Los Angeles, California. Let's hear it for Matt Knutson.
Hey, all right. Thank you very much. JP, I have to be honest, when he introduced a hilarious comedian, I could have sworn I just got bumped. Nevertheless, I am ecstatic to be here. I'm sitting here at the piano. Normally, I do stand-up comedy, but when I found out it was the American Parlor Songbook, I thought it would enroll Carolyn and Dennis and Joel, the band from the night. Yes. Amazing. Because when you do comedy, you rarely get a chance to tell a band to hit it. To be honest, I know how to play a little piano, but this place only has a regular size one, so I'm gonna do my best. I live in Los Angeles now. Actually, my family moved to California from North Dakota. People ask me if I miss the seasons. No, I do not. My friends, last winter in North Dakota, it was minus 36 degrees. That is colder than outer space. I think they could actually combine North and South Dakota into one state and call it Nah. Does take some getting used to. Southern California is the first and only place I've ever been to in my entire life where people will actually use their astrological sign as an excuse for their behavior. Hey, sorry I trashed your apartment. I'm a Leo. And Mercury's in retrograde. And I have to pretend I understand what that means.
Yeah, I know what you mean. My credence is in Clearwater.
And I feel a bad moon rising, so... Don't go round tonight? Yeah, and somehow in California, people will use flaking as a legitimate excuse. Hey, sorry I didn't make your birthday party. I flaked. Maybe I'm a little old-fashioned, my friends, but I miss the courtesy of being lied to. Take a second, make something up. I won't question it. At work, my car broke down. Catch you next time, buddy. But when someone says, I flaked, what they're saying is, hey, listen, buddy, I had everything I needed to spend time with you, except interest. I'm a Virgo. But I like doing comedy. I travel all over. I recently flew back from Greenville, South Carolina. And folks, you know you're in a small town airport when there's an announcement on the PA system that says, Ron, come here. Most recently in Salt Lake City, Utah. Believe it or not, I hung out in their Chinatown. Well, they call it Chinatown. You and I call it P.F. Chang's. Was in Las Vegas, Nevada. They say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I understand that slogan narrowly edged out their second choice, which was Las Vegas, ugly people smoking everywhere. If you've never been to Las Vegas and you want to know what it's like, simply go home tonight, eat a pack of cigarettes, and put $500 into a paper shredder. That ought to cover it, my friends. But I live in Los Angeles now, and in addition to being a stand-up comic, I'm also an actor, so I have something to fall back on. I think that's important. But things are going good. I've had a chance to be a part of some pretty big-time Hollywood projects. But I'm not a name dropper, guys. I'm not. And you know who appreciates it about me? Harrison Ford. And I don't want to brag about money. I'm not going to be that guy. But I will say this. I'm not rich, but I don't bother trying to open stubborn pistachios. That's how things are going. But I have friends, they say they can't work because they've been typecast. My friends, being typecast is a gift. Because Hollywood wants to hire you to play the type of people that you look like. You just gotta figure out what that is. Like, I know my type. It's gym coach at a Mormon high school. Kind of guy that tells teenagers to bring it in and take a knee. I'm not proud to admit this, guys, but somewhere on my demo reel, there's tape of me saying the line, "You can't have fun without fundamentals." Which I think is true. But you guys enjoying your life. You're out here at the Tudor House catching a live taping. I appreciate that. Life is short, so make the most of it, you know? But no one's going to live forever. That's why I left some very specific instructions for my wife when I pass away. Told her I don't want to be cremated, but I still want to be scattered over Venice Beach. You guys are fantastic. I'm Matt Canuto. I'm in love with all of you guys. Thank you so much. One more hand for the band. Joel, Carolyn, and Dennis.
Let them hear it.
We've got time for one more song. So now, joined by Peter Hastings on the upright bass and Maura Halliburton on percussion, with members of the Golden Bridge Choir in the audience, ladies and gentlemen, Coco Love Alcorn.
We're breathing. Good news, we're alive. Good news, we're here, and no one can deny. I say, good news, we're breathing. Good news, we're alive. Good news, we're here, and no one can deny. You can break my heart, you can break my bones, but no one can break my spirit, 'cause my spirit is my home. You can take my money, you can take my time, but no one can take my spirit, 'cause my spirit is mine. I say good news, we're breathing. Good news, we're alive.
Let's hear Peter play some bass.
The spirit finds a way.
Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening to American Parlor Songbook. APS is produced by the American Parlor Company, presented by KVCR, and available on PRX. You can find information about the program by visiting our website.
Wendell!
I'd recognize that voice anywhere. It's Ethel Merman in a meat grinder.
Ha, ha, ha. Very funny. Now, tell me why I can't hit this note.
What note?
This one.
I don't hear anything.
Exactly.
Perfect. Good night, then.
No, you goon. I'm trying to sing it.
Well, I'm not surprised you lost your voice. You nearly ruptured your vocal cords trying to shout above that choir.
What choir?
Of course you forgot. You managed to down 8 Manhattans in the lobby before the show.
8? Please. That's like throwing a snowball at the Titanic.
And the great ship went down when you sailed from the Manhattans with a handful of blue pills.
Delicious.
Delirious.
Sounds like fun.
Sounds like an indecent exposure rap.
Clothing just keeps me from truly experiencing the world.
And the rest of us from experiencing the horror.
I'm breathtaking.
Literally. You shoved a handful of cake into the mayor's mouth. He could have died, you know.
Oh, trust me. That balloon knows how to eat.
I thought I was in the clear when we finally made it to our seats and you passed out cold.
Oh, I always catch a quick nap before a performance.
Well, it wasn't your show.
Every show is my show, Wendell.
It's an all-male choir.
Not anymore.
No, now it's a little old lady choir, I suppose. They were right in the middle of a rousing chorus of Grand Old Flag when you suddenly awoke.
With a spring.
Like the creature from the Black Lagoon, crawling and stumbling to the stage, clothing falling off in your wake.
Freedom!
Not for long. The choir attempted to carry on, the audience cringing as you slinked your way up that flagpole.
Like Blaze Star.
It was very dangerous.
Nonsense, I've scaled higher.
Well, not for you, for the conductor holding the flagpole. Thankfully, he was strong enough to prevent a catastrophe.
Because I only weigh 87 pounds.
Yeah, hence the rattling sound on your way back down the pole.
If you've got it, flaunt it.
What you've got is a pair of white pancakes atop 2 toothpicks beneath a Sharpay's nightmare.
I'm as tight as a drum.
Only where you could afford it.
My doctor is a genius.
I still can't believe that you managed to find a plastic surgeon actually named Dr. Frankenstein.
I like a gothic twist.
That explains the pitchforks outside the theater.
If those squares can't handle a patriotic number, they can stuff it.
Patriotic. You shimmy down that pole, snatch the flag, somersault, and ta-da, on your feet with it tied around your neck as a cape.
It's a bird. It's a plane.
It's a constitutional violation.
Freedom of expression.
Oh, Martha, can't you express yourself in other ways?
I'm like lightning, Wendell. You can't cage me.
I think you mean bottle.
I say tomato, you say tomato.
No one says tomato.
You just did.
Touché.
I have to express myself, Wendell. If I don't sing, I don't exist.
But couldn't you do it with clothing on?
I have to be completely exposed.
Pasties?
Just me and the audience. Nothing between us.
Oh, just a flag for a cape.
And a song in my heart.
And a flapping sound when you vibrato.
I like a good shake on the right note.
I can't deny your pitch was spot on.
All 8 octaves.
3 tops.
Not if you count the overtones.
I do have to admit, it was quite captivating.
Oh, really? Oh, what number did I do?
With the room successfully hushed and the choir in stunned confusion, you began. A wispy alto, a familiar tune from an unexpected source, gentle and sweet somehow, and the audience, though reluctant, you coaxed them in and... Well, by the second verse, tears in their eyes, the choir joined in. Somewhere over the rainbow.
Oh, I knew it. That song always gets them.
And the big note at the finish, and the masters of harmony, the choir surrounding you in a major 7 chord, circled around, and they floated you from the stage in their arms.
Blowing kisses for the curtain call.
No, actually, you passed out cold in the wings. I had to carry you home.
My hero.
You sang in your sleep the whole ride.
Somewhere.
No, Big Spender, actually.
Oh, I always did like a show tune.
How about I sing you the closer now, and we get some rest?
Well, as long as it's my favorite song.
Which one's that?
Oh, you know which one. My lullaby.
Ah, yes, of course.
Martha, the sun has bowed its head. Our friends have all gone home to bed. We've burned the candle end to end. Remember what I've said time and time again. Every evening ends, but you don't need to fret. I'll hold you through the night. Deep sigh, my love, sleep tight. Fears run out to sea, gently streaming as you dream, right here by me. Martha, the moon is on its way. On pinhole skies, the palm trees sway. Tomorrow is another day. Remember what I say. Though a day will fade, another one is made. Never be afraid, I'll be by your side. Sleep tight, my love. Good night.
Good night.